So I was sitting there, and this morning, I don't know why I'm telling this story. I don't know if there's a point to it or not. It doesn't matter. But I woke up this morning, and I realized my beard had gotten all scraggly and long and nonsense, and I went to plug the, or went to use the razor, and it died the first right here. And I was sitting there going, wow, I hope I remember to go back and shave. I did, right? And it looks okay, right? I think I remember plugging it in now, but the things that pop in your mind as you're getting ready for church, so... A few announcements as we get started this morning. The first one is, this is Palm Sunday. This is the Sunday that we celebrate the King coming into Jerusalem. We're going to talk about that a little bit more during the day. But I think I see y'all didn't bring me flowers, right? This is palms for a few minutes. But, we'll use those. And this is Palm Sunday, a beautiful day. And next Sunday is Easter for that, yeah. Online prayer requests, if you are online and you've joined us there, make sure you send any prayer requests. We'll have a prayer here shortly. And anybody here, send it to jenkinsprayer@gmail.com, and we'll make sure to have a prayer later in the service. Easter, Holy Week and Easter schedule. So this is what we got going on this week. I can barely see the back one. First one is Wednesday night. I hope you come. We're going to look at Romans. It will begin with, therefore make your body a living sacrifice. That's sort of important during Holy Week. So I hope you're here Wednesday. If you're not here, I hope you can watch online. And we're going to look at Romans 12, a very important chapter for this week. We'll start at 6 o'clock. On Thursday, we have burrito ministry. And I say that because you all know what happened on Thursday of Holy Week, yes? That was the night that Christ got together with everybody else and broke bread. And well, guess what we do on burrito night is we get together and we break bread with the least of these, which seems sort of important during Holy Week. I've heard people say before something like this. Well, I love that you're doing that. It's just not for me. I 100% get that, because let me tell you something. It ain't for any of us. That's not why we do it. It's not for us that we're doing this thing. It's not something I'm like, hey, look, I'm good at homeless ministry. I was doing it for all the wrong reasons when I started doing it. And yet, over time, we've built up this understanding of what it means to break bread with people. So, if you've said before, that's not my gig, here's the good news. It ain't the preacher's gig either, so you can come with me and share it with me. How's that? Come on Thursday night. We're going to get together at 3, Suzanne, Thursday afternoon. We'll start making burritos. We'll take them out at 5. Any part of that you can be involved in, we would love for you to be a part of. Friday, we're going to have a good Friday service here at 6 p.m. And then Easter Sunday, we'll have Easter morning worship. And then we're going to have a Easter egg hunt right after church. Last year, we did it before, and we did it inside because all the little girls in their dresses wouldn't get grass stains and whatever. And then we realized, man, let them kids run around. And so we're going to do it after church, after pictures with family this year. And that will be the Easter egg hunt. What else? Also, Easter morning, I've talked to several people. It looks like we've got a good crowd that's going to be joining the church on Sunday, which is really, really exciting. One surprise joining that I'm not going to tell you about that's going to shock you. So we'll don't laugh because you'll give it away. I have several people joining. If you're not a part of the church as far as membership, I would love for you to be here Easter morning, and we're going to have this at the end of the service where we have a bunch of different people join the church. So if you've not been a part of the church as far as a member, make sure you let me know, and we will talk about this week. Again, Bible study is back. That's Wednesday night. We've got that one. We'll skip over it. We've already talked about that. And then one small thing. Steve is not here. Thank you, Steve, for getting the two big benches out of the prayer garden. Got them gone. Yeah, Steve came out and busted those up and drug them off with a little help. And then we still need somebody to wipe down the door. This is one that's been up here several weeks. I think it's because people have no clue what we're talking about. It's just the doors down here on the main level. Just when you put hands on that many times, they just need to be wiped down. So get in touch with me, and we'll get those cleaned up as well. And someone in the church, I won't say who their name is, Louise, make sure that we know we got to get the baseboards done in the same way at some time in the near future. So that's, they looking rough as well. Any other announcements? Anything going on in the life of the church? Anything we need to talk about?
Yeah.
Sleep,
Bob, one.
Real, okay. Mrs. Hayes? Gotcha. I'm not sure that is, but I'm sure that others do. So thanks for letting us know. Any other announcements? Anything else? Yes, I survived the Kentucky loss. Don't mourn. David Birdsong came and checked on me. Thank you so much. Are you doing okay? Jerry checked on me. Said, I'm sorry, Jason. And I'm like, y'all got to forget Easter's coming. I ain't worried about Kentucky. Let's stand up for a call to worship, church. Comes from Psalm 118. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are our God, and we will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we know your love endures forever. We're fans of all other kinds of things that don't endure. But we know that you endure forever. We attach ourselves to things that do not endure. But we know that you endure forever. We love things, Lord, that don't last. We love them for the wrong reasons. We love things that we should not love. And yet, your love endures forever. We thank you, God, that that's the case. We gather in church on Sunday mornings because that's the case. We come here together. We lift up your name because we know how much your love means to us and our love means to you and our love means to one another. So thank you, Lord, for allowing this to be a place where we can gather, we can talk, we can laugh, we can love, and we can call on your name and say, you are our King, you are our Lord, and there is no other. Lord, thank you for your love that endures forever. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Who's going to lead us in singing? Because Jason's not doing it.
You'll do that?
Y'all be in prayer for Jim and Toby. They're traveling right now on the way back from North Carolina to take care of some things. And we thank everybody for filling in today.
Okay, turn to number 173, All Glory, Laud, and Honor.
Scripture of assurance, I'm going to use kind of a little bit of a teaching moment in kind of like we did in the last few weeks. But I want to read it first. John 12:12 through 16. The next day, the crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So one of the things that I've talked about in the last just 8 years that I've done Easter here is that what happened on that first morning was, yes, a religious thing. Yes, it was a faith thing. Absolutely, it was those things. It was also a political statement. I saw people waving the palm branches. What we need to understand is that when a king would come in after a battle, let's say that a king of Jerusalem went out and won a great battle. When they came in, they would often ride a donkey. Donkeys nowadays are like, you rode on a donkey, really? But a donkey was considered, it's a very smart animal. And so they would ride in a donkey, and before them would be people waving palm branches, right? And singing about the king and what the king had done and this great victory and all this. Well, what was the entrance into Jerusalem but exactly that? He rides in a donkey, everybody's shouting, Hosanna, this is the king of Israel. They're waving palm branches. He's got a whole group going ahead of him. It is a parade, a march that's happening. In the midst of that, some people believe that on the very same day that Herod and Pilate showed up to town from the opposite direction through a different gate. And so on the very day that the king of Israel, Jesus, shows up, the king of Israel, Herod, probably showed up as well. Can you imagine what Herod thought when he heard that there's somebody else in town and people are coming in, who's coming to the city with people shouting things like, here is the king of Israel. It was specifically a political statement about, let me tell you who the king is. Now, we don't like ideas of things being political, but that was. And what the people said on the way in is that we have one king, and his name is Jesus of Nazareth. Now, here's the issue with that. Guess what they all did? Yeah, Louise, they bailed. To a person, they all left him. Which means our call to our allegiance to our king isn't always perfect. And yet, what happened at the end of that scripture? Did you read it? It said, and then they remembered. After God, where Jesus was glorified, then they remembered what happened. And they were like, wait a minute. That happened. That occurred. And then it went all the way from there to 2501 York Road, like we said. Something in this idea, to me, that we fall away, then we see the glory, and then we remember and we come back, and that we're accepted by this king is absolutely glorious to me. Because let me tell you what Herod would have done. He'd have been done with you. And yet, what does our king do? Welcomes him back. Come in. It's okay that you fell away because you're back with me now. Church, we have a king. Amen. There is one king of this Lord, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And sometimes we fall away from that king, but that king always welcomes us back. We have the most beautiful king in all of the world. Praise God. Amen. And next Sunday, he comes out the grave. Amen. Amen. This is the king we serve. Let's sing again.
And can it be? Number 203.
Yes, it can. Thank you.
That song's hard. I get it. But man, how beautiful it is to hear that verse come up at that, or the chorus come up, and everybody belt that out. That was beautiful. So I want to thank again our choir for leading us in worship. With Jim gone and everything, I'm sure it's been a challenge for them to get everything together. Thank you for jumping in and leading the choir. So we'll have this, and then as part of that, the youngins will... Oh, Suzanne's already got case. And she's like, I got him. He's awesome. Thank you so much for leading us.
So I kind of thought this is why I'm not singing, but I kind of thought that this was an odd choice for Jim for Palm Sunday, because, you know, Palm Sunday is all joyful, and this song is not, doesn't sound joyful, but you're going to see the words on the screen, and if you look at the words, it's really a great choice for us to prepare ourselves for Holy Week and all that happens in Holy Week. So we'd like to share that with you now.
Costal up in here, y'all love it. Thank you, Seth, for filling in today, brother. Thank you very, very much. And see Katie coming up here singing as well. Thank you, sir, for filling in. Thank you, church, for continuing to give. Thank you, choir, for continuing to give your service to the church. It is a wonderful thing to know that people are ready to step up and do their part. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. And as you choose to give, the box is in the back. You can give online, or there's text giving, or all kinds of ways. So thank you for supporting your church as well. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, thank you for the gifts that you give us. Thank you for allowing us to give them back. But thank you most, Lord, for just the gift of you. We go through the world sometimes, and everything's spinning around and happening. And sometimes, Lord, we just forget to say thank you just for you. That you are with us, that you've created us, that you will sustain us, that you will deliver us and let us live in this world, this gift of yours. Thank you, God, for your gift, and thank you for that gift of eternal life that begins today and never, never can we outlive your love. We will never be separated from that. So thank you, God, for you. And God's people said, amen. I want to read the same story that we read a few moments ago, but read it from Mark. It's interesting. All four Gospels have this story. And I said that we have the King version in that we just read in John. In Luke, he comes in very humble because that's Luke. And so you can read it, a different taste of it in each of the Gospels. We're going to read this one from Mark and talk about it. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying a colt?' They told him that what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Can you imagine the Roman soldiers that heard that one? Whew. Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. I want to talk about a horse that I met in Morocco. It was an unexpected meeting, let me assure you. So a medina in Morocco is the old part of the city, the ancient part of the city. It's the cobblestone alleyways that are stacked with homes and schools and all the little shops and that sell, you know, clothes and carpets and trinkets and electronics and, you know, whatever else. And as always, there is the gift of Moroccan tea when you go in one of those shops. Locals and tourists alike barter in the souks. That's what you call one of the shops. It's called a souk. They barter in the souks, and they are housed in these places are housed in buildings that are 1,000 years old and more. The medina in Morocco is palpable. It has a heartbeat, man. You can just feel it when you're in it. The medina in Fez, Morocco, is the oldest and largest of the Morocco medinas. The first buildings went up in 789 AD by King Idris I. It houses institutions like the oldest continuing educational center in all the world. The University of, a name that I will absolutely butcher, so go look it up yourself, began its educational endeavor in 859 AD and has produced students ever since. The artisans of the city produce the finest products in the world. I have a leather wallet that, as you know, I lose about every other week. It finds its way back to me. I'll lose it for another 4 years because that thing's still in perfect shape. The rugs are outrageously beautiful. Just ask my wife. We have two of them in our house, and if we go back to Morocco, we'll have a third, I assume. There are no cars in the medina. It's the largest populated space in the world that does not allow any motorized vehicles. A car or a motorcycle or a moped would not help you in the least because the medina has 9,000 alleyways, some of them not big enough to meet somebody in. The oldest street in the medina is called Hug Street. You want to know why? Because if you're walking down this little bitty narrow alleyway and you meet somebody, you just got to hug and turn. And that's how you keep going, because you can't get past somebody any other way. You better not meet somebody you're not a fan of when you go down Hug Alley, is all I'm getting at. If you get lost, well, tough. The restaurants don't have any names, and the streets have no names either. Do not get lost. People will give you directions, but the directions they give you will get you lost at their brother's shop about 6 blocks away, and you got to go buy another wallet there is what I figured out. Thankfully, we had a guide while we were there. Her name is Hajar. By the way, Hajar's name in Arabic, we translate in English as Hagar, the biblical name Hagar. Ishu, my friend from Morocco, his name we translated as Jesus, Joshua, Ishu, same word. So my two friends from Morocco, all I'm saying is they both have biblical names, which is kind of interesting. So anyway, Hajar knew her way through the nooks and the crannies of this impenetrable skein of cobblestone and sooks. We didn't dare leave her side. It was a little bit like a video game world in that it just didn't look real, you know? At some point, I don't know where we were, but some point deep inside the Medina, I turned a corner and there was a horse. A horse isn't supposed to be in the middle of Medina. I was surprised. The horse was not shocked at all, by the way, that I was there, surprisingly, because there was a horse in the middle of the Medina. Nobody was walking with it. It didn't have a bridle. There was no saddle. There was no lead rope. There was nothing. It just plodded by like it knew where the best spice shop was, and it was going on down its way. And I just kind of looked at it for a minute, and I was like, well, that's odd. But then what really got me was that nobody else seemed shocked at all that there was a horse walking down the middle of Medina. Like, I would think somebody would be surprised, and nobody had any care whatsoever. It was as if the horse was a ghost, and I was the only person that just saw it walk right down the street. Imagine turning the corner in Walmart and seeing a horse push a buggy down aisle 5.
Probably could.
Be wider, I promise you. I told Suzanne, I was like, did you just see a horse? And I noticed she looked as confused as I did. And so I was like, Hajar, I've got a question for you. Did you just lose a horse? Because I found one back here. And she said, no. She said, I didn't. That wasn't her horse. That did not answer my question, by the way. Hajar, why is there a horse walking down the middle of the street in Medina? And why does there nobody care that there's a horse walking down the middle of the street of Medina? Poor American. She said, do you see any cars in the alleyways? And I was like, I don't see any cars. She said, do you see any motorbikes? And I was like, I don't see any motorbikes either. Do you see any mopeds? And I said, no, I don't see those either. And she said, how do you think people get their stuff from one place to another? I was like, they carry it? She said, no. She said, the horse is the Medina's horse. I said, does it sleep in the streets? And she said, no, don't be dumb. The horse doesn't sleep in the streets. I was like, well, it does other things in the streets, I'm sure. She said, yeah, whatever. But come to find out, as we went along, there were other horses. Either that or somebody dyed the hair on this horse. I don't know. But there were other horses walking around the Medina. And then come to find out, at the end of the evening, somebody has a stall, and the horse knows where to get its evening meal, and they put it up. And the rest of the day, it just wanders around helping people out. So if you got a big stuff at the entrance to the Medina, you just go find a horse, you bring it back to where you are, you strap everything onto it, and then you take it to your place, and then you give it an apple, and you take everything off, and just let the horse go. It walks around the Medina until it finds somebody else that needs it. Darndest thing I ever seen in my life. It was such a perfect solution, though, you know, like perfect. So the rest of the day, what did I do? I wondered if anybody had been using the horse. I'd see somebody with stuff in their shop. I was like, I wonder if that came in on the horse. I would look at people and wonder, I wonder if they used that horse. And that's just what I did all day long. I wonder what happened with it. And I wonder if there was somebody who had a bunch of stuff, and then there was like the grandma who had a bunch of groceries. He's like, oh, I'll just put your stuff up on here. What alley do you live in? I'll take you there. And you just wonder kind of how it all went. It was a community that shared the horse. It's the most bizarre thing, you know, just odd. I don't think it would work as well downtown Nashville. What do you think? Downtown Nolan. It would cure the traffic problem in Nolensville is what we need to do. We need to have a traffic, so yeah, we can fix it like that. We'll just put horses out on the street and you can carry stuff back and forth. It was cool remembering all that. When I read this scripture, for some reason, that just popped back in my mind. That story of that horse. I hadn't read it. I hadn't thought about that horse in forever. But when I thought, when I read this scripture, it just sort of popped back in my mind for a few minutes. I remembered where I was when I saw the horse. I remembered my confusion about the horse. I remember wondering if I bought something from something that rode in on the horse. And it was cool remembering all that. I could almost smell the smells again of the Medina, you know? The spices and the coffee and the, well, sometimes faint whiffs of horse. I could hear the sounds again. I could feel the narrow alleyways again. I could feel how it sort of tucked us in with the rugs and everything that created the barrier on top. For a moment, I was back in the Medina, us following Hajar wherever she dared to go. It's cool for things to trigger memories like that. You know what I mean? You have yours. Something will trigger when you're just thinking about something. I think I realized why that scripture triggered that memory for me finally. I think I wondered if the disciples who went and got that donkey ever thought back to it later and smiled and was like, remember when that happened? Remember when we went and we got the donkey for Boss Man? He said it would be there, man. And as likely as it could be, lo and behold, it was right where Jesus said it would be. Remember when we went and did that? Golly, that was cool. I bet they thought back to it wondering how he knew it would be there, how he knew that donkey was just going to be tied up there waiting on us. See, they had to have thought about those things later on. The scripture said it did. I don't know, by the way, who the two disciples were. Four accounts of this happening, not one of them mentions who the two disciples were that went and got the donkey. In true The Chosen manner, by the way, y'all should have joined us last night. We had a blast watching The Chosen. But in true The Chosen manner, I'm just going to make it up. So we'll say one of them is Thaddeus. Thaddeus never gets any play. So we're going to give Thaddeus and say that he's one of them that went and got the donkey. And I'm sure that at some point he thought back and remembered something like, boy, God sure does provide, doesn't God? Just we wonder, what in the world is up with this donkey? We walk in town and there it is. Man, God provides. You probably remembered about God providing for Isaac. People like to talk about Abraham having God provide the ram. I think Isaac appreciated it even more. But remember when God provided for Isaac? Remember when God provided manna and in quail when they didn't like the manna because that wasn't enough? But God provided. Thaddeus must have thought about that when he remembered that donkey time and again. God provided a means to rectify sin for all time and the birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension of our friend Jesus Christ. God provides. I better get a big amen for this one. God provides. Amen. Yes, God provides. Of course God does. We're Thaddeus, man. There are certain things and certain times that remind us that God provides when God said God was going to provide. God provides when we didn't know there was a way that God could provide. And so maybe when Thaddeus remembered that donkey, he remembered that Jesus always provided, always gave of himself. Because God's a providing God. There were two disciples, though, right? Who should we make the other one? Let's make it Philip. 1L. I'm sorry, son. My apologies. 1L. Philip was the other one, maybe. And maybe Philip was like, you know what I remember from that day? But I remember about that donkey, I always wonder, how did Jesus get that donkey there? How do you know it was going to be there? Who else is working for Jesus other than us? Who'd he know, and why did all the people know who the Lord was when they said, the Lord needs it, we'll bring it right back? By the way, there's no record of Jesus bringing it back. I think we can assume he did, right? That's my guess. But who put it there? Philip must have been amazed that Jesus had it all lined out and didn't use any of them to do it. All we were directed was to go pick it up. Did he order it online? How did he get the thing there? Who was it that tied that donkey onto that tree? And who was it that asked us who we were getting it for? It was like a password or something. Philip must have said, who all does Jesus have working for him? Don't we need to know that? We are in the inner circle, after all. I mean, I know God provides. I've been there when God provides. But I mean, if I don't know who it is, how can I know it's God that's providing? I think Philip would have thought these questions, may have thought it for years, every time he saw a young donkey remembering this. And if I'd have been Philip, that might have caused me to think, it might have humbled me a little bit. I might have realized that I didn't need to know the whole plan to do my part. I might have learned that by all means, God can bring a plan together and not tell me everything. I mean, if Jesus just wanted a donkey, Judas, old money bags, could have talked to Mary Magdalene. They could have hooked up a donkey, right? And yet, there was some way that this way happened. There was somebody else in on it. And Philip and Thaddeus never knew who it was. They never knew who else was in God's plan. It came as a shock before to them that there were people doing things in Jesus' name and that they weren't. It wasn't one of them. Remember that story? There's somebody doing miracles in your name, and he isn't one of us. Maybe this would have hit them the same way, you know? There's somebody doing God's work, and it's not us. There were others now doing part of God's will that Philip didn't know and that Philip might never know. There were parts of the plan that not only would he not figure out, but would linger as a question for 2,000 years. Who put that donkey there? Scriptures don't explain more. Philip didn't need to know the plan. He just needed to go do his part in the great play. Go get the donkey and bring it back. That's all you need to worry about. Don't worry about the rest of the stuff. It'll be fine because others are doing their part, and you'll remember that one time that Jesus provided you a donkey and you had no clue how it happened. You just know God provides. Maybe Philip might have realized that if he'd been a fly on the wall in the village that day, maybe if he'd just been watching, that he might not even seen someone tie that donkey up, because who would have noticed really? It was such an indescript moment. There's nothing spectacular in tying a donkey to a tree. It might have been odd. It's not every day somebody ties a donkey to a tree and walks off. Maybe he wouldn't have recognized it at all. Maybe he would have completely overlooked what was done in the name of the Lord. Maybe the event was so nondescript that nobody even noticed it. There's a lot going on that week, man. It was Passover week. Who's going to notice some donkey tire upper people, and who'd ever dream that that was done in honor of the Messiah? Philip must have contemplated, must have pondered it. And he might have come finally to a realization that he wouldn't have recognized the moment for what it was. It was an intricate piece of God's holy plan, and he might not have even noticed. It could have slid by him like it never happened, sort of like it slipped by people later that day who didn't even understand why some guy was riding on the donkey. They were too busy living life, man. They were too busy selling Passover souvenirs to see God's intricate and holy plan. But after what happened that day, after the resurrection day, I bet you every time that Philip saw a donkey from then on, he remembered how God provided something that he would never dream that God would ever do. I guess that causes me to ask, I wonder who's tying up donkeys these days that we never even notice. I wonder what horses we see that we think are just roaming around but are instead an intricate part of God's plan for the community. Do we see that kind of stuff? Do we look for it? Or do we let it slide by and sometimes miss it? And if we do see it when God's doing something amazing that goes often too unnoticed, do we look with eyes that want to see good, or do we look with suspicion? Somebody left their donkey there. So irresponsible. I should have put it up. I was involved in the sermon last week. The prophet got a little too big for his britches. I do not apologize, but it's true. But I will softer say today that maybe our universal problem is that the intricate plans of God are often very, very hard for us to see. We keep blinders on. We have blinders. It's okay. We're human. That's part of what we do. The very words we use are blinders. We have a hard time seeing anything out of the words we say. So I think it's probably easy for us to reject godly moments or just miss them, even as we want to be as godly as can be. We want to be good, godly people, but can we notice every time we see a donkey tied up? We don't do it on purpose, but maybe we miss some things, or maybe we minimize things sometimes when those exact things might be the thing that God wants most in this world. We don't do it with everything, but I can imagine never noticing that donkey, never giving it a second thought. The horse I couldn't miss, but maybe the donkey I would. Have we ever missed out on God doing something? We ever missed out on God's plan? The good news is that us missing it, though, doesn't change what God's doing, you know? There are donkey tire uppers in this world, and we're working with them, whether we know it or not. We'll meet some of them, and to some, we may be amazed. It may blow our mind that God worked through someone that we didn't know God could work through. Others, we will never meet. Others will have to work hard not to reject, but they're doing what they're supposed to do, whether we see it in the way we need to see it or not. Thank God that God isn't totally dependent on me, church. And you don't have to amen that. Thank you. Thank God that God isn't totally dependent on any of us. Jesus had 10 other friends that day. If Thaddeus and Philip hadn't helped out, Philip would have. I know you would have, son. But how sad if he hadn't. They sure would have missed out on amazing memories, man. Gorgeous, amazing, fantastic memories. Thank God that God has got a plan that doesn't require me to always see what's going on. I want to see it. I desire to see it. I'm going to look for it. But if I miss it, well, God's still going to do what God's doing. It's not up to me. It's hard not to reject works of God that don't make sense to us. But what memories might we gain because those things are still going to happen despite us? What stories might we tell then once we see it? If we can find God working where we never believed God could ever work? What glory might we find when we find God working in people that we're not even connected to? And yet we find out that we are connected very much right at our souls. I was telling somebody the other day that COVID taught me something. It taught me that we're all connected. Every one of us in this world are connected by the very air that we breathe into our lungs. We're connected at the very air we breathe. I don't like COVID, by the way. COVID's terrible. It's overstayed its welcome. But that thought doesn't escape me. We're all in this thing together, whether we realize it or not. And faith is a little bit like that too, I think. Whether we know it or not, somewhere in the world, someone is serving the Lord right now in a manner that we do not understand and we refuse to know. We don't know them, and we might not care to know them. We don't know what they're doing, and if we paid attention, we might wish we hadn't known. We might understand why they're doing. We might not understand why they're doing it if we see them tying up their version of a donkey in a place that we don't think are good places to tie donkeys. If we saw them tying one up, it might conflict with a plan that we think God's up to. It might look like a whole different plan, altogether different plan than the one we know. But this scripture makes me, I guess, a little bit amazed, a little bit surprised and shocked and humble and careful. Because who knows what God is up to, man? Who knows what God is up to? I mean, did we hang the stars in the sky? We don't get to determine that. Time and again, we have stories like this one in Scripture. There are people all the time doing God things that we just don't get at all. Cyrus, the king of Persia, let the exiles go back to Jerusalem. He was a servant of God even though he didn't follow God at all. He was a good ruler, benevolent supposedly, and so he was in God's plan. I doubt other people saw Cyrus as one of God's people. The wise men, who were they except priests from a whole different culture and religion? Surely some other than Herod wondered about them and why in the world they were bringing gifts. Should the family even accept them? They're from so-and-so. A carpenter from Nazareth? Really? That's what God's up to? Of all places, Nazareth was in God's plan. A bunch of people did not see that one coming. And yet all of that which God set in motion, all of the promises, the covenant, all of the righteousness and blessings, all of the mercy and grace that you have ever known and all that is in creation at all the salvation that would come, it was tied up in a donkey that nobody would have noticed. And yet thank God somebody did God's work. Because that's the one he rode into Jerusalem because it was fit for a king. Every time Philip thought about that day in town, he must have smiled big and said, Thaddeus, remember that day we found that donkey? man, I wonder what Jesus is going to do tomorrow. Church, I could talk all day, like I've done in years past, about the political implications of Hosanna, blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord. Herod loved that. I have pontificated for 8 years about the politics of blessed is the coming kingdom of the ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest. Pilate thought that was just a hoot. When people chanted those two things, they signed Jesus' death warrant. I could talk about that for hours because it's a major theme of history, but none of that matters if we don't hear the stories like this one, that we don't remember the times when we were humbled, when somebody did something for the Lord and we had to catch up to see God's plan. Have you ever wondered how God did that thing that God did that one time? Have we ever met people who God worked through that were like, how in the world did God work through them? Thaddeus and Philip might suggest we look a little bit harder next time. And remember how amazing it was when God did amazing things in our presence. When we humble ourselves, when we realize our job is just to do our part, that's it, just to do our part, we can trust that God has everything else under control. If we do our part, we might have a pretty good story to tell later on about what Jesus is up to. And there is no bigger blessing than that. Praise God. There are donkey tire uppers in this world, a part of the plan, just like us, to save the world. Do we dare define who and what or how God will work? Or do we just trust the stories? Do we know them intimately? Do we know the stories like they are our own, so that we too can see when God is doing things that we can't even imagine God would ever do? Church, go make sure you're doing your part. That's all you got to worry about. Go make sure you are doing your part. Be careful in determining what other paths are right and wrong. Just go do yours. And I promise you, one donkey at a time, we will be amazed, confounded, confused, and enlightened at what God will do next. I promise you, if we truly go serve, leaving the judgment back in Bethpage and Bethany, and just go into unnamed villages to unknown people, trusting that God will provide, we will have the most amazing stories to tell. We'll have memories that unveil the brilliance of God. Go be the ones that sees what the world does not. Remember the ways of Christ that are outside what the world will ever do, and tell all the crazy, amazing things God has done in your life, because somebody will be amazed about that as well. Don't miss a thing, church. For today we know our King has come. He rode in on a donkey, and he is King forevermore. And God's people said, amen. Amen. I wish there was a hymn called Donkey Tire Uppers. There is not. We'll trust it was near the cross. Would you please stand for our last song? Thank you. picture. Wow. This is the family, Melanie?
This is my daughter Katie's niece.
This is Juliet?
She's Juliet. I think she goes by Anna. She's 18 months old.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, this is Juliet Jenkins, 18 months. She has having heart surgery for blood clots. They don't know why yet. The diagnosis possibly an autoimmune disease. But please lift little Juliet up and the family as they're going through, obviously, tough times.
She was fine last Sunday, and right before their eyes, got lethargic, and then started turning blue, and they fortunately got to the hospital in time.
Praise God. Will Juliet and the family. Or is it, and then we have also Etta Jenkins?
No, that is.
Oh, that's it. Okay. Gotcha. I'm with you. There's two different ones. Perfect. Also from Elizabeth, update on mom. Carol's doing great. She's in a rehab facility in Spring Hill, making progress, and hopefully she won't be there for long. I know that family going back and forth is a challenge. So, yeah, please be in prayer for Carol as she's healing up as well. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for this morning? Yes, ma'am.
Two different requests. One for the family and friends of Riley Spring and the whole Nashville community that's hoping for a better outcome. And then also prayers for Dr. Dickhouse and all of those that lost a loved one. This is the week anniversary of the Covenant shooting.
Gotcha. Others? Yes, sir.
My friend Jessica Mai.
How do you spell the last name?
M-A-I.
Prayers for Jessica. Prayers for you, sisters, always. It's always, Kathy. Are there others this morning that we need to be in prayer for? Yes, ma'am.
Three requests. One for Whitney for his stomach. They still don't know what's wrong. They tested him for a whole bunch of stuff. They're checking his gallbladder on Monday. My mother's having trouble breathing. I don't know why.
Remind me of your mother's name.
Debbie. She's got something in her upper lung, but they don't think it's cancer.
Good. Figured it out.
Yeah, and then Miss Jane has tests this week that she's worried about.
I'm going to pray for you.
Audits this week.
School tests, I assume we're talking about.
Tests.
Gotcha. Just making sure. And you have audits this week?
I do.
Bless you. Others this morning, what do you need a prayer for? Yes, ma'am?
For Polly, she'll be having her surgery on Friday.
Polly having surgery on Friday. Gotcha. Yes. Others this morning? Yes, sir.
My name's Kay West in the Mayfield, Kentucky Hospital.
Oh, my goodness. Prayers for Kay West in the hospital. Is it your niece? Said it was your niece?
My niece.
Niece. Prayers for Kay West. Are there others? Yes, Suzanne.
Prayers that I don't have to have surgery.
Yay.
And no prayers for y'all because you're stuck.
Suzanne, we found out, does not have to have surgery. She goes back in 4 weeks for an x-ray just to check up on the hand, but she's out of work for a couple of weeks, so. I got a honey-do list. You knock it out. Ain't no thing.
Justin, I think Joyce Alamore gets her results this week also.
Be in prayer for Joyce Alamore. She's having some things going on that they're trying to figure out and haven't heard the whole story yet. I'm not sure she's telling everybody the whole story yet, but please be in prayer for her. She is getting, like you said, results this week. Yep. Are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am.
The family of Claudia Kane, who was my mother's first cousin.
K-A-N-E?
C-A-I-N. They considered themselves sisters and not just cousins. And ironically, she passed away Saturday night, and yesterday was the one-year anniversary of my mother's sickness. So
So Big Claudia has joined her, and they're having a party.
Big one. Praise God they are. Friends and family of Claudia Kane, and also as you're hurting from your mother's passing a year ago too. Absolutely. Are there others this morning? Anybody else? Hey, Casey. Come here. Come here. Come here. Hey, you want to help me pray? You want to help me pray the Lord's Prayer? Okay.
Okay, let's go. Let's do it.
Okay, come here. Come on, let's go. So I'm going to pray first, and then we'll pray together, okay? Come on. Okay, all right.
So,
all right, give me just a second, okay? I'll be right back to you. Let's pray. God, we lift up all the names in this list. We call on your name and thank you, Lord, that we can pray in this. We thank you, God, that you have called us to pray and to put everything on you. All of our pains, our sorrows, our hurts, and our praises, Lord, we give to you. And we give it through your prayer. Can I help you say it?
Okay.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Can I help you say it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I didn't do that to show this child off as good as he is to show off. You can see, Mom? All right, take off. That is not why I did that. I did that to thank you. Y'all are teaching that young man the faith. His parents are key in that. I ain't displacing them. But together, we're bringing a young man. About a month ago, they were like, you got to see this, Jason. And they brought him, and he starts saying the Lord's Prayer. And I'm like, well, he knew most of the words. Some of them, he just knew the syllables. But that was okay. I was totally good with that. Because he's learning, man. We must invest in Kaysen and our other little young ones that come because we're teaching them the faith. We're teaching them something that they need the rest of their lives to make sense of this world. And that man's learning it because of what you're doing. Invest in that young man. Invest in the youngins that show up over here. Invest in them because if we don't, they don't know the faith. They can't grasp it because we haven't taught it. Will you help me teach young man the faith? Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to God in prayer again. Lord, thank you for the young one. Thank you for this church. Thank you for caring. Thank you for all of these things that you have provided, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to live in your faith. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you please rise for the benediction? Church, go in love, go in joy, go in peace, go in grace, go in mercy, and go like our young man, eager for the faith. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.